Welcome to the Stoke It Up podcast, everybody. A podcast encouraging you in your journey with God. I'm Alan Stoddard. I am your host, and this is season two of the Stoke It Up podcast. Paul told Timothy, kindle afresh the gift of God that is in you. And that's what we want to do in the Stoke family, is encourage you to be all that God has created you to be and to be about His kingdom business in these days. Well, it's episode one today, and we have a special for you. Team Chosen is launching off season two with the reflection of the first four episodes of The Chosen. We hope you'll jump in and enjoy the discussion and keep the discussion going in your mind about what's going on there. And then I can give you a heads up. The next episode will be an episode on what the church and we as Christians can learn from Chick-fil-A. I will have Kenneth Priest on here, who is in Hawaii. He's a pastor, but he's working for Chick-fil-A. I'm here in Granbury, Texas. I'm a pastor, and I'm working for Chick-fil-A. And we're going to have a discussion on what we see in Chick-fil-A that can transfer to the church. Well, thanks for jumping in. Subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already. Share this around if you think it'll stoke somebody else up. And we appreciate your love and support in the ministry of Christ. Let's jump in. Well, all right, everybody. I am here with Team Chosen minus one, Tim Ebert, who wouldn't even text me back today. Now, he's doing something important. But Tim could not be here tonight, but I'm here with Elise Elsenboss and Renee Kren, and we are launching up season two of the Stoke It Up podcast, and we're starting off with our fan favorite, which is The Chosen. And so So season three has kicked off. I went to see it in the theaters. I would go back. I just really enjoyed that. I totally lost my emotions in the theater on that. I just did not see some of that coming. So welcome back to the podcast, guys. Let's talk about The Chosen. I want to know what you guys' reaction is to the first four episodes. We're not going to cover all that in detail, but what's going through your minds? You knew we were coming on. What's the first thing you guys would jump in and just your response to season three, the first four episodes?
I have to agree. I saw it in theaters as well, and for the first two episodes, and it caught me by surprise how emotional and funny. There were times I was laughing, I was crying, I was laughing and crying. And it was just amazing. And then even watching it again when it was on TV, again, it still hits you. And it's just powerful, you know, some of those emotions, especially, you know, the scenes with Matthew and his family, that I think was a really powerful thing as well, to see how that had happened, you know, just because you can relate. I think a lot of people can relate to that feeling, you know, of someone, whether it's a family member or just someone in their life that they reconciled with, and they didn't think there was that possibility of that reconciling, and they didn't see it happening, and they didn't think that could ever happen, and then to be able to come together with that person and think that even, oh, I'm the only one in the wrong maybe in that situation, and then they apologize for their half and say, you know, It was just amazing. And that feeling of just, you know, that emotional, just, it was just so much.
Let me ask you guys this, speaking of emotion, because I think it's the end of the first episode of the season three, where Matthew comes back up, he's in front of his family, and he says, Alphaeus, to his dad, and his dad says, son. And it ends.
Yeah.
These guys are the master of emotion.
Yeah.
I mean that in a good way. So I've been thinking through about emotion, because sometimes people are critical of some of the add-ons and context, some of which I would call application, and they have a hard time deciphering the possibilities of New Testament culture as opposed to what they're doing with these biblical characters. But what do you guys think of this? I think the emotion taps into the role of the Holy Spirit in a believer's life. We want the Holy Spirit to move, but sometimes I want to say to these critics, I want to go, you guys say you want the Holy Spirit to move, but you're against a little bit of emotion. The Holy Spirit, in a very positive way, moves our emotions. I mean, he moves us. In Acts 2, he moved them. They were moved and filled with the Spirit. And that wasn't just some, they stood there and were robots. They were moved by emotion. What do you think of that? The use of emotion in this, in the role of the Holy Spirit.
Well, I think you're right about the critics not liking part of the emotion, because I think once we do have that Holy Spirit in us, I really think that that is what's moving us, because we can understand that. We can truly understand that. And it's not, how can I say it? I want to say it's not fake. This is real. This is, you know, we can relate to it, because even though it was, 2,000 years ago, we haven't changed that much when it comes to emotion and knowing the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
I agree with what you said, Alan. I loved it. I was off and on in tears.
I think about it a lot. I'm not watching barely any secular TV, and I'm literally binging The Chosen. I'll keep it on when I'm doing something else even. And I just thought about that. I thought about how people are critical of it. And then I thought about the production. Yes, it is production and it is set up for emotion. But is that not the kind of response that we want in people? We want them to see those situations like Elise just described. And we want them to have those kind of victories in their own life.
Right.
Right.
So, and see themselves. We want them. And I think that's what Dallas and them are wanting, for the people to see themselves in these situations.
Right. And I mean, I think one of the critic moments too would have been the scene, I think it's still that same episode shortly before Matthew went to go see his parents. Matthew went to Mary's house and he was standing outside. Mm-hmm. And Mary noticed he was outside and went to the door and was like, Matthew, what are you doing here? Are you okay? And he was like, I don't know where to go.
Right.
And one, that wouldn't have been an acceptable thing, because it's a woman's house, knowing that there's only women there, for a man to go alone and approach a woman's house, that's not socially acceptable there in that time. And he was by himself, and so it wouldn't have been appropriate. And however, in that situation, he was such an outcast even among that group, because he was the ex-tax collector, you know? And then Mary also felt kind of like that, you know, bad, you know, person because of her past, you know? So they both had that connection that they were drawn together in this, you know, so it gave you that feeling of like, hey, I can relate to feeling alone, or someone that feels like an outcast, and having maybe someone that they can connect to and go to. And even if it was just a brief thing, she's like, it's okay to be wrong sometimes or make mistakes, I think is that what she said. And it was just a really brief interaction with the two of them, and just to give him enough encouragement. And you know, they had that scene in the previous season that a lot of people were very critical of, where she had backtracked. Mm-hmm. And so for her to give him that wisdom, I think it played on that, tying that scene again into here, like it's okay to make mistakes and not do everything right, you know? And I think that people need to know that it's okay to make mistakes. It's just not living in those mistakes, exactly. You know, and spiraling down. So, exactly.
Okay. I have a question. I have a question for you guys. I want to go to episode 3. I think it was episode 3.
Position, heal yourself. Huh? Is it physician heal yourself when he's in the synagogue teaching in Nazareth?
Oh, yeah, I saw that. But what did Jesus whisper? What did he whisper? I just want to know. What did he
what did Lazarus whisper to Lazarus? I don't know. There is another brother on YouTube that's brought that up, and I didn't listen to it yet, but yeah, I saw that he was bringing it up. I don't know.
I'm
not sure.
I like that, Renee. Lazarus is going to be okay. That episode when he was in Nazareth really left Gina and I kind of stoic. We were like, wow, that was sober. That one wasn't, the emotion was backwards. I thought they did a great job at trying to bring the reality of that scene. And if you look in Luke, they got it right. It was pretty awesome the way they did it.
Yeah.
All right, I have another.
Yeah, do it.
I have another question. What was Jesus praying when he washed his hands? You know, when he went into his mom's house, he washed his feet at the door, but then he went to the table and he was washing his hands. But what was he saying? What was he praying? What was he?
I don't know.
Do y'all remember that?
I barely
It was very quiet that he was doing it as he was washing his hands. I don't know that it was very quiet that I didn't hear it.
I'm going to be listening for it now. I'm going to have to go watch it tonight.
Yeah, I watched it. I've seen it twice. Not as much as you two, but I've seen it twice and I still didn't get it. And now that I think about it, you know, he knew what he was going to be talking to his mom about. And so maybe that was just a conversation that he was having with the father.
Okay, yeah. How about this one? When he goes through that crowd in Nazareth and he goes, not today.
Oh, I loved it.
Walks through. And then when he gets through that initial crowd, he looks up at the father.
Yes, I saw that.
I watched that. I think I've seen that three times. I'm like, wow. I think that's what's going on with them, is they're showing glimpses of Jesus' relationship with the Father.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%.
He looks up as he walks through.
Yeah. And the look on his face was like, how about that, Dad?
Yeah. Loved it.
How about this? What did you guys think of the last episode? Was it Physician Heal Yourself? I think it was. It was the beginning of that one It was episode 4 when they come back from doing the ministry. The episode opens with them doing ministry and healing people. What did you guys think of that?
I thought that was awesome because I think it really showed that they were surprised that that they could do things, and just the changing in their mentality too. You see some of them shifting in their confidence and really coming into their own. Some of them, I think, getting a little full of themselves as well, which can happen. You would see some of them thinking, oh, I'm all powerful and and taking it upon themselves versus putting it on God. Right. This is God, and saying, I'm doing this, you saw that kind of mentality in a couple of them, which you could see that it would be easy for someone to be in the flesh in that, I'm doing all these things versus saying, oh, God's helping all these people. I think it's a good way to kind of show that, you could have some people that it would be a struggle, being able to heal people and then not start getting, a big head over it and getting away from God in it. And, how that focus, you would have to keep on returning. This is God. I have nothing to do with this, And so, and then you have a lot of them that were, you know, like, you know, wow, you know, like this is amazing that God is doing this. Like, this isn't something that we have. This is God, you know? And I thought it was really neat how they did that. And then I liked how it was quiet. You didn't hear anything until they prayed.
I thought
that was really powerful.
What do you
powerful.
Think, Renee? What would you think when you first saw it?
I really liked it. I know I've seen and read some other things that people didn't like the way that it opened up, but I loved it because it did show them going out and doing it. And as Elise said, you know, some of them were very shocked at what they were doing or what they could do, but it was because of this just like Judas said, that he was working through them. And I was surprised that that happened to be Judas's line, because, you know, in episode 4. But the thing that I really, as they're sitting around the table at Peter's house, was I think it was Big John, mm-hmm. who is having doubts and feeling he doesn't even believe what he's saying, and he doesn't even know what he's saying.
Right.
You know? And that right there, that really made me think. The doubts made me think. The doubts that he had made me think. Because, you know, being honest, there are times when we can pray, but do we really believe that what we're praying for, that God is going to do something? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, because he just had these doubts and he felt like a phony.
Mm-hmm.
And I that one got me right there. I was like, oh, wow. You know, I can understand where he's coming from there.
Yeah.
But one of my favorite lines, actually I have two favorite lines, but one of my favorite lines was, please let it be Jesus. When, you know, yeah. knocking on the yeah. door.
That's great.
Yeah.
I loved it. I loved it. Oh, and I don't know if you guys know this, but have you noticed that one of the lines that it is almost in all the episodes is, if not now?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Have you caught that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Jesus uses it against Mary.
Uh-huh.
And what is it? Physician, heal yourself. When yeah. he's sitting there and he says, I'm going to need the box. And it's kind of I'm not going to be back to Nazareth. I'm here to fulfill.
Yeah.
And she's like, does it have to happen so soon? And he goes, if not now.
Not now. Yeah.
Yep.
I when I first saw the episode with them doing the healing, yep. when I first saw it, I thought it not what I thought it was going to be. I thought, and here's the problem with The Chosen is that they have an impossible task. They're trying to put in production the gospel story and put context around it and do application through the New Testament context, which is what preachers do every week. I think that some preachers, I want to go, well, you're all messed up because they're doing it better than we are. But when I saw it the first time, I thought, that wasn't what I thought. I thought I was going to see, I was going to think it's like one of those episodes, like the end of the first episode of season one or some big, but then when I rewatched it, I thought that was magnificent. And the big one that stuck out to me is they showed kind of their innocence, and y'all believe yes. that. I'm using the word innocence and doing ministry. They're going into rooms and they're having to lay hands on people in awkward situations. And at the beginning, they don't even know if they can pull it off. They haven't experienced this yet. And so I really enjoyed that part of it where they showed these guys are rookies.
Right. What about when Matthew goes and he like He like throws the oil.
Yeah. That was so funny. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. That was good. I loved it.
What are your thoughts about Gaius? The one that was, you know who I'm talking about?
Peter? He's
the one that was with Matthew all the time.
Yes. Gaius is the Roman soldier.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you, I think he's going to end up being saved in the end, but that's just my thought, because if you notice, when on Sermon on the Mount, he was speechless. Like he didn't even respond. And then he didn't even want to talk about what happened. He didn't want to even really do his job when they were going through that tent city. He was like, I have other things to do, you know, like you finish up here. And then he went and visited Matthew. I think he wasn't really stationed at Matthew's house. I think he wanted to run into Matthew purposely. And one, to check up on him and be like, hey, how are you doing? Because I think he does really care about him. It's like a friend, and he was worried about him because he knows he could easily get hurt and can't really take care of himself in his mind, you know? So he's worried about him. But I think also he's like, I want to know a little bit more about what's going on with you, who this person you're following is. And, you know, you just see that. And then this last episode, he is, you know, hanging out and sitting by the cistern, right? Yes. By the cistern. He's having that conversation, which you're like, Simon Peter is like talking to him, which that's shocking enough as it is, because he doesn't like Matthew even, you know, so like for him to be and like having a conversation with Gaius. But I think he's kind of inching towards like finding out more about Jesus.
So he's scared. Curious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. What do you think about Atticus? You think he's curious?
I think a little bit.
Atticus, which one's Atticus?
He's the centurion, not the centurion. He's the
He's the one that followed Z up onto the rooftop.
Yeah, he's like the FBI agent in black.
Okay, I guess I haven't. He
went with Gaius to report on.
Yeah, he's the one talking to Gaius after the Sermon on the Mount. And he's going, and Gaius
says, nice
conversation.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I want to ask you guys one more thing. And it's going to be interesting to see how they develop these characters and how they become Christians. Let's do one more topic before we get off tonight. And that's this. What did you guys think of the Sermon on the Mount? When I saw that, I was blown away. I thought, they started it off and it was real simple, but then they put movement and emotion on it. And I mean, Jesus is like flamethrower. He is teaching with power and authority. And I got all into that. I just thought, wow, I wish every Sunday in church was like that.
Yeah, it was good. I loved it. And I loved the fact enjoyed the fact that the disciples standing all around were actually getting something. You know, it wasn't just for the people, the 5,000 people there. It was for all of them. And it was like it hit them all in a particular way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you saw that and each one connecting to different pieces. And even John the Baptist had even pointed that out. He said, what spoke to you? Because there's something that always speaks to every person.
Yes, you know,
I know it's, he didn't say that exactly like that, but roughly he said something like that. And it's true, because I mean, when we go to the Bible, there's something that, you know, is talking to us. God is talking to us through the Bible, to our situations. And it's different each time we go. We could read the same passage at a different point in our lives, and it's telling us something different because God's trying to tell us something different. And I, just like that sermon was telling each one of the, them something different that's going on in their lives, was speaking to them. And I think that's so true and so impactful for people to see that, yes, everything was extremely important that Jesus was saying on the Sermon on the Mount. But it's so important to see that when you take that part from you, because you can relate to it, mm-hmm. everything's relatable, and there are pieces that you can relate to in the moment. And you might not realize you're relating to everything, every moment of every single piece of the Bible. You might not say, oh, I relate to this exactly, but this I do. And you can take that right. away to, and then tomorrow you'll go to it and you'll take something else away. And it's just powerful for people to realize.
So that's right? another thing that, that I'll encourage us on the way out of this podcast. I thought about this. I meant to text you guys the other day and tell you this, is that I think the more you watch The Chosen, the more you'll get out of it. And it's just like the Bible. Now, I don't mean to say that The Chosen is the scriptures. I don't mean to say that. But I'm saying what you will get, just like anything else, the more you put into it, you will get. Now, these guys are spending hundreds of hours preparing this stuff, and we're evaluating it and processing it in 1 hour. I think it's meant to be watched over. They are that detailed in what they're doing that you will get something new and you won't see it all in the first shot. And I want to encourage you listeners, especially, and all of us to keep stoked up on The Chosen. There's reasons why. One is their task is impossible. Dallas Jenkins has an impossible task. He can't do it. I think he'll get to heaven, and Jesus could very well say, Dallas, you did not get most of that right. I think that's definitely what's going to happen. But I think the Lord in the same breath will say, Dallas, I understood what you were trying to do. Well done, good and faithful servant. Right. You were trying to capture the essence of what happened and what I want to see happen in the lives of people who watch this and get exposed, not even to this, to the gospel. Secondly, right. I would say that The Chosen is probably, in my lifetime, it's got to be one of the top, if not the top, movements of Christianity in these days. It is a gospel proclamation. People are getting into it. And I think you're either going to get on board and check it out, or you'll watch it years later and go, oh man, I wish I would have watched that, which is fine. But I think we live in the now, and I think we should embrace it. I understand what some critics may say. Some people are going to say, well, you know, this and that. We'll deal with that in another episode. But let's keep sharing it in social media. Let's keep supporting it. We were all talking the other day how we want to start giving some to The Chosen team. And, you know, I don't have a lot to give, but I can give more than what I am giving. And so I'm going to give some offerings to that and just support them. Let's keep the movement going. They want to get the 7 seasons. We should be a part of it. And again, thank you ladies for being on the podcast, and excited for season 2 of the Stoke It Up podcast. You guys share this wherever you can.
Season 3.
Yes. Thank you. Any final words, ladies, before we bug out? Any final words?
It's awesome. It's awesome. You got to watch it because there's so many things that we didn't talk about, you know?
So save those notes and let's do this. I'll be hitting you guys up to record again, trying to Saturday night, but if not Saturday night, Monday night, because there is a new episode coming out this Sunday.
Oh, that's right.
And so let's check it out. Yep. And we will do an pretty immediate review of that. Is that okay?
Sounds great.
All right. Well, again, guys, thanks for being on the Stoke It Up podcast. And to our listeners, we hope you like and subscribe and share this around where this content can help you in your journey with God. Thanks for being a part of what God's doing. Count us in on what he's doing in and through your life. And we will see you next time.